Democrats in the legislature call for an investigation into Attorney General John Swallow. Three candidates file to challenge Cottonwood Heights' first and only mayor, and Utah's fire season is shaping up to be another difficult one. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Tuesday, June 11th. I'm Brian Grimmett. Utah Senate Democrats are calling on House and Senate leadership to authorize a committee to investigate the allegations brought against Attorney General John Swallow. Senate Minority Leader Gene Davis says the call for an investigation isn't about impeachment. That's a process left for the Utah House to begin. But he does say it's in the interest of open government and the integrity of our elected officials to find the truth.
We just want to get a process going so the public has a clearer understanding of what these allegations are, what they mean. Do they raise themselves to the level of impeachment? Who knows? That's for the House to decide with their own investigation.
Over the weekend, the House Democrats made it clear where they stand regarding the impeachment of John Swallow in an op-ed piece in the Salt Lake Tribune. They also called for an investigation and possible impeachment. Democrat Rebecca Chavez-Houck says they've spoken to the Republican colleagues about it and hope they can reach a consensus to move forward.
We want to make sure that we end up with an outcome that restores the public trust, and the liberative movement is imperative, and bipartisan movement is imperative.
The House Republican caucus is scheduled to meet next week during interim meetings to discuss impeachment. The federal government, the lieutenant governor's office, and the Salt Lake and Davis County attorneys are all investigating allegations brought against the attorney general. It'll be a while longer before Utah's lieutenant governor appoints special counsel to investigate whether Attorney General John Swallow violated state election laws. It received only two bids from law firms, so Lieutenant Governor Greg Bell has extended the deadline to apply for another 2 weeks. State Elections Director Mark Thomas says it's possible many firms may have donated to Swallow's campaign and therefore were reluctant to bid because of a conflict of interest. Cottonwood Heights Mayor Kelvin Cullimore Jr. is facing three challengers in this year's election. Cullimore has been the municipality's only mayor since residents voted to become a city in 2004. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
53-year-old Peyton Robinson is a partner at the Lewis Hansen Law Firm in Salt Lake City. He says he's eyeing the mayor's seat because he wants to increase green space and create a true downtown area in Cottonwood Heights.
Right now we have a main corridor with Fort Union and Wasatch Boulevard and these areas adjacent to the mountains. But we don't have the same sort of downtown area that Sugar House does, for example, or Holiday.
Robinson says he's also concerned about a controversial land development at the mouth of Big Cottonwood Canyon. The Tavachi development was initially zoned for residential use, but now many Cottonwood Heights residents fear a high-rise commercial project is underway. Current Mayor Kelvin Cullimore says the city tried to come to an agreement with developer Terry Deal, but Deal opted instead to disconnect the property from Cottonwood Heights altogether. Deal must now seek permission to rezone from Salt Lake County. 51-year-old Todd Leeds has also thrown his hat in the ring. He's especially troubled by the public-private financing model used to pay for the Canyon Center development on the site of the old Canyon Racquet Center, and what he says is a lack of concern for bicycle and pedestrian safety.
If you look at the trend throughout the Salt Lake Valley, there is more infrastructure, more signage, more safety features for bicyclists and pedestrians, and Cottonwood Heights is doing almost nothing.
Jubal Perez has also filed to run for Cottonwood Heights mayor. Primary elections for municipal races will be held August 13th, narrowing the field to two candidates on the ballot for Election Day on November 5th. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
High temperatures and dry conditions have thrust Utah into what could be a difficult fire season. Crews contained the Flood Canyon Fire in Tooele County Monday afternoon, and the National Weather Service issued a red flag warning for the St. George area on Sunday night. KUER's Nicole Nixon has this update.
Jason Curry is a Utah State Fire Information Officer. He says because of late rains and higher snowpack, this summer probably won't have as many wildfires as last year, but the risk is still above average.
Most of the state is in moderate to severe drought, and so we're going to see some fires, and we're most likely going to see some big ones.
Temperatures in Salt Lake City have already reached 100 degrees. And while the temperatures will drop later this week, that doesn't mean all parts of the state are free from fire danger. Curry says cold fronts moving in are accompanied by warm southwesterly winds that increase the danger of wildfires.
For the most part, the storms that we have come in are more harm than good.
Even though storms usually bring concentrated rainfall, Curry says they also bring high winds and the risk of lightning-caused fires. According to the National Climatic Data Center, Utah is the second driest state in the nation. It gets an average of just over 12 inches of rain each year, which makes every summer a potentially busy time for Utah firefighters. Nicole Nixon, KUER News.
As ozone levels in the summer air increase around the state, the Utah Transit Authority and Zions Bank are teaming up to offer more than 2,000 free transit passes for use in the month of July. Remy Barron's a spokesperson for UTA. He says each pass will be good for a free week's worth of travel on tracks, buses, or front-runner trains.
The passes can be activated July 1st, and they're good through July 31st. They're activated the first time the person that has one taps on. And then they're good for a week's worth of travel after that.
UTA and Zions Bank are working together to finance the purchase of the free passes. Those interested in claiming one can sign up at utarideclear.com.
Governor Gary Herbert is revamping the Utah Clean Air Partnership. He plans to make the government entity an independent organization instead. The mission of the Utah Clean Air Partnership is to unite people around ways to reduce air pollution. It also doles out grants and loans to businesses and communities that want to help reducing emissions. The Amoco Klemp Company in Orem has agreed to pay $90,000 in fines for violating the state's air pollution rules. The Salt Lake Tribune reports the company exceeded the limits for releasing volatile organic compounds on 39 different occasions. It reported the violations during an inspection last year. If it avoids violations in the next 2 years, half the penalty will be waived. The federal government sent out $67 million in disaster relief funds to 15 states yesterday. It's meant to help states that suffered damage from wildfires last year. The money was held up by budget battles in Congress. Most of it is going to Colorado, but Utah will get some money as well. The downtown Salt Lake City Library was closed Monday afternoon after a 21-year-old man committed suicide by jumping from the roof. The Deseret News cites firefighters as saying the man used a chair to climb over a railing. He landed in an outdoor stairwell near the library amphitheater. A truck driver who was arrested for drunk driving almost a year ago has filed a lawsuit against Box Elder County. Robert Kuczynski said he was held in jail for 16 days before he was allowed to call an attorney, and he says that cost him his job. Kuczynski's arrest records show he was not intoxicated, but he had an inner ear infection that affected his balance. A gun show operator from Utah is among four companies being sued by the city of San Francisco for violating its firearms laws. City Attorney Dennis Herrera says B&L Productions and the other defendants violated California's ban on high-capacity magazines by selling them as repair kits easily assembled from parts. And finally, a new report shows 92.5% of Utah residents have some kind of internet access. That's the highest rate in the country. It's based on U.S. Census data from 2011. The report also found more than 27% of Utah residents are what the Bureau calls highly connected, meaning they can access the internet from multiple devices at home and at other locations. Nationally, that rate is about 16%. And that is your KUER News Pod for Tuesday, June 11th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.